So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to do a little bit of rehearsing here of what we have learned in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is the New Testament spiritual warfare book for us. And so we have learned many things, and let's review a few of them. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's go there, and I'll read verses 1 through 7 and several other verses, and then we'll go to the next chapter. I think this will be beneficial for us this morning. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. These truths are for us. This is the New Testament. We're New Testament believers. These truths are for us. Amazing. And having predestinated us, verse 5, under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And then go to verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Say, what does that mean? It means that we heard the gospel. We heard that Jesus saves, and that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we heard it, we believed it. We said, it is true. I want it. I accept it. I receive it into my heart by calling out to Jesus with my mouth and believing in my heart. And he saved me, and he gave me the Holy Spirit like he gave you the Holy Spirit. And he sealed us until the day of redemption. That seal authorized by God the Father, like a stamp of a king was sealed on an envelope. It could only be opened by the person who would receive it. And God will receive us into heaven, and that will be the purchased possession. We'll fully realize our redemption, how we've been bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan had rule over us. Our flesh had rule over us. But God bought us back. And guess what? There's no higher price that anyone can come up with. The blood of Jesus is holy and perfect and pure and powerful, and it saves us. And nothing, the devil can't come up with a price that is higher than the blood of Jesus. That's why we're sealed. We're saved. And we can't lose our salvation. Praise God for that. Then we look at chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and this is a New Testament church, and the head turns the body. The head makes the decision what the hand's going to do, what the arm's going to do, what the feet are going to do, what the body's going to do. That's why Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Not I, Jesus is. And that's why we try to honor him in everything that we do in this place, including missions reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to chapter number 2. Haven't you been blessed already? Just the songs. They were just such a blessing to me. Just the congregation songs and then what the kids sang. Man, I've been blessed already. Should we just close in prayer right now? We should, maybe. Some of you are getting hungry, but we might just go another 20 minutes or so, okay? All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Where else can you go in a church where you make the shot, make the call for what we're going to do, right? Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation, that means lifestyle, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And he goes on to say in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boy, if you're here this morning and you're trying to attain salvation because you came to church, I'm sorry, that's not going to get you there. But I just shared the message, what will get you there. And if you trust in Christ, man, he's going to save you and he's going to seal you, give you the Holy Spirit, and start leading you in your life to where you need to be and where God wants to bless you. Thank God for that. So now, let's go to chapter number 3. I have so much I want to share. Chapter 3, a synopsis of what we've been doing, a little bit of what Ephesians is teaching. So chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Remember, we had a message on that. Paul, for our sake, was willing to be a prisoner in the Roman prison, in the dungeons or shackled by chains. It didn't matter. He was doing it so that we would get the gospel. Hallelujah. And then look at verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Look up just for a second. This age that we live in, the church age from 2,000 years ago to now, it was not found in the Old Testament prophecies anywhere except for the fact that all nations would be blessed as a result of God blessing Abraham and the child Jesus Christ coming from that lineage. So we knew that the Gentiles would be blessed through faithful Abraham, but we didn't know that we'd have at least 2,000 years to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to glorify him, that all of us would have an opportunity to get saved. But God pulled Paul up to the third heaven, where God is, where we can't go unless we have Christ. And he pulled him up and he revealed to him something that was not known to the former prophets. And Paul is revealing it to the Ephesians and the New Testament saints. Look at verse number 4 and 5. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So when we get saved, we all get saved and put into the body of Christ. So all believers are in the body of Christ. But God has commanded us, when we get saved, that a local New Testament church such as this one that obeys his commandments should baptize that new believer, and they become a member of this local New Testament church, because this church is Christ. He doesn't want us to be in some body where we call a universal church, which the Bible does not talk about. The universal church, how do you tithe in a universal church? Who do you give the money to? How do you have accountability on what the leadership is doing? Are they following Christ's commands? And so anyway, let's carry on here. Isn't this good? Let's go to verse 21 of chapter 3. Unto him, unto Jesus Christ, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give Jesus Christ glory throughout all ages, no matter how long he takes to come back for us. You keep giving glory unto him. This church, keep giving glory unto him. In our personal lives, keep giving glory unto him, because it's forever. All ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4 begins by, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. God has a calling for you. God has a purpose for you. Now, it's sometimes hard, and I've been praying for a gentleman, and he's just going through a hard time. He lost the love of his life. Been married many, many, many years. Many, many, many years. Lost the love of his life, and he's just heartbroken, and he doesn't know how to go on. And as far as I know, he knows the Lord as his personal Savior, but he's just lost hope. I can't tell you his name, but if you would pray for him, that would be much appreciated. And so we come to certain times like that, and I'm not talking about anybody in this room. And I know some of you in this room have gone through that as well and might go through it. And it's just a devastating thing. And yet I just want to remind you that God still has a purpose for you. And if you lose your loved one, you'll see that loved one again if they know the Lord as personal Savior. And so you just have to put it in your mind. I've got to hope I'll see them again, because Christ promises that you will. And so it might be 5 years, it might be 10 years, it might be tomorrow, we don't know. But don't lose hope. Keep serving the Lord, because he is worthy. And the devil wants us to get discouraged, and the devil wants us to give up when things like that happen. Don't give up. Keep looking to him. Keep reading your Bible, and just be encouraged by the things that you find that the Word of God will do in your own personal heart. And verse 2 and 3 here, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, telling us how we should act toward one another. You are my sisters and brothers in Christ. So I treat you as brothers and sisters in Christ with a love of God, and you do the same one to another. God wants us to do that, and we'll cover that in a little bit. And I'm going to skip to verse 17 now. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, he says, if so that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And then he instructs us how to do that. And we said, putting off the old man. Put off. If you've gotten bitter, some people get bitter at God. Let me tell you something. Me this last week, crawling on the ground in pain, and that's with doing everything that I possibly could do, and I'm on the floor, and the only thing I could do is pray if I could get the concentration in my mind to do. And most of the time, I couldn't even do that. And it's a humbling thing, but it's a real thing. And one day, I couldn't come down the stairs. I was upstairs in my bedroom. I could not come down. It was impossible. And sometimes we go through things like that. And you know, for moments, I said, God, why is this happening? Like, what is going on? And you pray for relief, and you pray for the answered prayer, and it doesn't come. And I know church people are praying. I know my daughters are praying. I know my wife is praying, and my boys are praying for me. And you want that prayer to come true, and you want it right here and right now, and answer the prayer. But God didn't do that. And he humbled me in such a way, and I'd come into the church, and I'd just cry and be so thankful that I can serve the Lord. I can't tell you, being pastor of Rocky Mountain Baptist Church is like a dream come true, but I never had the dream. You know, I never dreamt, saying, God, you know, if I could only be the pastor of Rocky Mountain Baptist Church. I never did that. But being here, I'm so thankful that I can pastor here. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. It's a privilege to pastor you folks. And you guys have just treated us so well, and we can't thank you enough. And it's just a blessing. But God humbles us sometimes like that. And I don't know why he does it. Maybe God will use it to do something in this church. I don't know what the purpose is, but I know he's got a purpose. He's got me here for a reason, and he's got you here for a reason. So look unto Jesus, our theme for the year, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. By the way, some men wanted to help me either this afternoon or tomorrow maybe. I need that sign changed to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You guys won't let me get up on a ladder. My wife won't let me get up on the ladder, and I'm not letting her get up on a ladder. So if a couple of men want to help with that, I will pick out the letters and try to have that ready for you and tell you how I do it. But if you want to help me that way, either this afternoon or tomorrow sometime, it would look nice to have that theme up there. We still have Ring Out the News, Jesus Was Born, and it is great, but Christmas is past, and it would be nice to have a new letter sign up there. All these things were not in my notes, but I share them with you as the Lord gives them to me here. So we talked about in Ephesians 4 about being in our Bible and having devotions and renewing our mind. And then we talked about bitterness and forgiveness, how we don't have to have bitterness in our heart. We put off those things and we say, God forgave me. So for Christ's sake, for His glory, for His honor, I will forgive those that have wronged me. Listen, we don't have to be stupid about it. When somebody wrongs us and they're not sorry for it, we don't have to run to them and say, I forgive you. I mean, they need to repent and get right with God if they've done wrong. But we can say in our heart, Lord, help me to forgive them. And then maybe give me an opportunity to share the gospel with them. But if they're not saved, they've never experienced true forgiveness. So it's very hard for them to forgive, if not impossible. Now, let's stand for the reading of our text. Ephesians chapter number 5. It's going to feel like we had a short service today, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read one verse, verse 8. Then we'll pray and then we'll be seated. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Would you read it together with me? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Father, we are so thankful to be in church this morning. This is the first day of the week. We celebrate it because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, raised from the dead the first day of the week. And we celebrate it. We honor you, Lord, in this day. We worship you, and we want to be obedient to you. Help us, Lord, to walk as children of light. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. So as we look at Ephesians chapter number 5, we see that we have spiritual warfare going on as he talks about darkness and as he talks about light. And when we get to Ephesians chapter number 6 and talking about the protection that God wants us to have on with the armor of God, it gets very exciting. And we just need to realize we are in a warfare. And some things that happen, I believe I can't see. I don't know why it happens. But sometimes spiritual warfare is right at the heart of it. So look at Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 1. I'll reiterate the title. Walking in the light because you have the light. That is the title of the message, Ephesians 5, 8. But I want to go from verse number 1 and exposit some things here. Verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, why does it say therefore? Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Because we've been forgiven, our sin debt that we owed and that we could not pay, no matter what we did, no matter what works we would add to us, no matter what our giving record would be, no matter how many times we attended church, we needed to be forgiven by God, and He's done that for us through Jesus Christ. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We are dear children to God. Now, this is we're children because we're in the family of God. It's not up to us. We don't step into salvation or just, I'm going to decide to be a good person and I'm going to decide to follow Christ. That doesn't change my old nature. Because all men are born with the sin nature, all women too, and we have the sinful nature, and that sin nature goes against God. Our very nature has to be changed if we're going to enter into heaven. And He does that by the blood of Jesus Christ. We get saved. We get spiritually, not by water, spiritually baptized into Christ. Now we are in Christ. So now we're a child of God. And He, as dear children, we are precious to God. Dear children, somebody He cares about because we've been purchased. The Bible says God is love. So as dear children, walk in love. And let the love of God flow through you. I remember years ago, a preacher that's now in heaven, he used to have the quiet sermon, the silent sermon. And this is what he did. Lifted his hands up to God. God gave him something, and then he gave it out. And he wouldn't say anything. And what he was illustrating is the love of God that we get from him, let it flow through us to someone else. Not because they deserve it. We don't deserve it. But we're doing it for Christ's sake. We're doing it to glorify God our Father. Amen. Look at verse number 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, listen to this. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He says, if you don't love, if you don't love people, you don't know God. Now, I don't know if that means that God doesn't know you, but it means that you don't understand who God is. For God is love. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We don't go around condemning people and saying you're lost and you're going to hell and we're happy about it. Absolutely not. Because God didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to condemn me. He didn't come to condemn this world. He came so people would be saved. That's what he wants them to do. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus says, that they might have life and that they might have it and that they might have it more abundantly. Another old time preacher says, I love to quote Jesus. And I got to reiterate it. I love to quote Jesus. You know what Jesus said is just powerful, isn't it? The word of God. I love to quote Jesus. Let's do it again. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And that's why he says here that he loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Those two words, sweet savor, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was to God the Father a well-pleasing sacrifice because it satisfied the holy law's demands that God had spoken. Let's go, keep our place here, but let's go to Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter number 1. Leviticus chapter 1 in verse number 9, talking about the sacrifice here from verse 8, you see the priest and you see upon the altar, and then verse 9, but his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Look at verse number 13. But he shall wash the inward. So we're talking about a lamb that was spotless, that was picked out to symbolize the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in verse 13, but he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice and offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And go to chapter 2, verse 9. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And then go to chapter number 3. Verse 1, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering. Now, when a person did that, they acknowledged their sin was now placed on the sacrifice that was going to die. And so verse 2, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards and all the fat that is upon the inwards and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And now we can go back to Ephesians. So when he says here, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor, Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament and the sacrifices that they made. Now stay with me here. We talked about the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. And if you read that in more detail and finish reading Leviticus chapter 3 and 4 and 5, you find more of that. But the burnt offering pictures Christ's complete devotion to God. We in our sin nature are selfish. God is not. He gave himself. God's nature is love. The meal offering, the perfection of his character, that's what that symbolized. The peace offering, making peace between God and sinners. Since the sin offering and the trespass offering in Leviticus 4:5 picture Christ taking the place of the sinner, they are not considered sweet savor offerings because there's nothing good about sin. So Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, look at verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So he gives very clear direction about us who are saints, which doesn't mean that the Pope has pontified us or anything like that, because that is a bunch of hogwash. That's the best way I can say that. If it offends you, I am sorry, but the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that we are saints because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we're just sinners bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has this instruction for us. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. So you're a born-again believer. He says fornication, a sexual sin, when you're not married and you're living together, let it not be once named among the saints. And I know I'm going to have feedback after this message because I always do. What are you talking about? Living together? Just because my daughter or my son lives or something. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, it's wrong. The Bible says it's sin. And the Bible says don't let it be named among you. There's a right way to do things. And you can do it. God enables you to do it right. And he says, don't let it be named among you. Living together is not right. And if we have children, and I have four children, and I'm trying to train them right, but if they ever go in the way of the world and they say, no, mom, dad, I'm not getting married, I'm living with someone, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to eat with my daughter. Because it's wrong. And you know it's wrong. And some people say, well, you know what? I want to keep in touch with them. Oh, that's fine. But you don't go to their side and say, you know, the preacher, he's just too tough on sin. No, I'm preaching what Christ tells me to preach. And it's not that I'm trying to be rude or obnoxious. Absolutely not. I'm just saying this world's ways is an abomination unto God. I took a couple of pictures of the news. You won't believe this. This is on Fox News, and I took a picture of it. Let me just pull it up here. I've taken quite a lot of pictures here lately, apparently. This is on Fox News. City's watchdog, and I forget what city it was, finds hundreds of employees groomed, sexually assaulted students last school year. That is wrong. And those people need to be held accountable. Listen, in this church, we hold people accountable. I know what's going on in Sunday school class, and if there's ever something that happens that's ungodly like that, they're done, and there'll be an investigation by the police. Oh, yeah, we keep people accountable. There's no sin going on behind doors in this place. We'll make sure of that. And if somebody suffers that kind of thing, listen, let's go talk to the cops. Let's see if this thing is true, and let's make sure that never happens again because it's wrong. Shame on that city for doing that. State Education Department pushing schools to hide students' gender identity from parents. These things are happening in America. It's wrong. You're male or female. You can't choose what you are. God chose before you were born what you are. Now live what you are for God and to his glory. Stop this nonsense and speak out against it. If it's happening in your schools, speak out against it. I'd rather have an uneducated child that knows nothing about nothing than to be abused like that and ruin them for life. Absolutely. I have no tolerance for that kind of a thing. And he says, or covetousness, greedy, ripping people off. Sometimes people leave the church because, you know, they were working for somebody and they thought, boy, they probably made a $100 day. They worked hard and somebody gives them $5. And they're offended. Let's do what's right. Don't be greedy putting money in your own pocket. Listen, I'm not talking about if you're doing something for the church, there's only so much I can do. But I'm talking about you're working a job and you're getting paid $1,000 and you give somebody $5 when they are earned $100. You pay them that what they owe or even more. I did a roofing job 2 years ago with a brother in the Lord. And boy, I said, you pay me whatever you want to pay me. And boy, he paid me good. He paid me $25 an hour. And man, my feet were so sore. I couldn't believe the blisters on my feet from roofing. That is a tough job. And he paid me good. Now that is honorable. That is right. And we were about to leave, and the guy, the owner of the house, said, look at that. And I looked at it, and something was wrong on one of the edges. He didn't do something. And my partner said, well, that's not my fault. That's somebody before me. And I just quietly went up to him and said, brother, if that's your roof, do you want somebody to walk away and say that's somebody else? If I were you, I'd go fix it. And he went up there, took 10 minutes and fixed it, and everybody was happy. And everybody's like, great, man, great job, and see you later, and hands shaking and everything, and thank God. Don't be greedy or covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Why? Let the love of God flow through us. Now look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Well, what does that mean? Filthiness. That's talking about our passions and having a wrong thought life and just the idea of sexual sins. And, you know, comedies, that's the best way. I'm trying to think of the word, what they call comedies. There's a sitcom. You know, they make fun of sin. And they laugh at sin. And they talk dirty. And these guys, they have filthy lifestyles. Sleep around with everyone. And that's their lifestyle. And people are watching it on TV and they're making money off of us watching it. And it's filthy. The passions are filthy and God says, don't have anything to do with it. Nor jesting, talking wrong about things, dirty jokes, things like that, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this ye know that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says, that's the characteristic of the unsaved, not the saved, not the folks in the church that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He says, that's the lost. Now, in case you are wondering, it is possible for a lost person to commit these sins. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. Keep your place in Romans. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And as usual, I'll have to back up. So he says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now he says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Some of us have a background that is not a pretty background. And remember when God saved you and you're forgiven of all your sin? Just praise God. God's not holding those past sins against you. You're washed. You're clean. You have the Spirit of God. You've got a new start. Now you say, well, what happens if you go back and you do commit fornication? Well, God does not impute that sin to you. He's already paid for it. But your living is wrong. So now he uses the tools in his toolbox to draw you back to him. And if you just won't and you're stubborn, you're going to be judged by him in such a way that your life is now come into consideration that you can't live out the rest of your life. Or you'll be the most miserable Christian on planet Earth. I think some of the most miserable people on this planet are Christians who are backslidden, not right with God. Because you know what truly makes you happy. But you're stubborn. And you're going to commit fornication because, well, you have a right to do so. And this world is teaching me that it's okay. And God says it's not. Stop living like the lost and start living like the saved. Let no man deceive you, verse 6, with vain words. For because of these cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So I wrote a few verses down here, and just let me see if I can find them for us. I didn't write them out. So let's go to John chapter number 8, verse 12. John chapter number 8. In verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That is beautiful. Go to John 9, 5. John 9, 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now go to Matthew 5, 14. Matthew 5, 14. The children sang about this verse. Ye are the light of the world. He's talking to his disciples. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when we turn back, and I have other verses, but I'm out of time. He says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let no man deceive you with vain words. You know, there's some people God does not want us to hang out with. Says, should we not love them? No. We should love them. But loving someone does not mean you put your hands around their shoulders and say, we are the same. Because unless they're agreed, how can they walk together? I forget exactly how the verse goes. But unless two agree, they cannot walk together, the Bible says. And when we do, when we hang out with people that are ungodly, they have no problem with the sins of the world, they laugh at the things of God, we should not be hanging out with them, because before you know it, you're deceived in your own mind and you're walking in darkness instead of the light that God has for us. Listen, I know people. I remember going to a prison and visiting a couple of people in a different state. And I remember one of them was very humble and one of them was very proud. And when he was released, the proud one went into ungodly sins. And his family said, that's not right. And we cannot sit together. And that's such a hurtful thing to have to do. But God does not want us to hang out with people that laugh at sin, that make a mockery of the Word of God and His church. And if you do, you're not right with God, according to the Bible. Because you and I, we need to walk as children of light. How else will the world around us see who we are? Oh, God sees us. He sees the Spirit of God in me. I can't see your spirit. You can't see mine. So you're going to judge me. Yes, you are. Oh, don't judge. No, you judge all the time. When you pick up an orange, you judge whether that's a good orange or too soft, whether you're going to eat it. You judge all the time. And the world judges us. What are they like? Can they see any difference in us from the ungodly world that we live in? Listen, I decided I'm not going to shut up about what's going on in our country. When I'm at the checkout, I'll talk to people. Man, it's too bad what's going on. This world is crazy. And we'll have a conversation. I'll try to share the gospel with them. But I'm letting them know I'm not shutting up and sitting down because government told me so. The government's supposed to fear the people, not we, the government. Something's very wrong in our country. And it's because people are being silent and they're deciding not to walk in the light, and people don't know how many Christians there are that don't believe what's going on. So make your decisions according to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you and I, sometimes we were darkness, but no longer. Now we're children of light, and people should see a difference when we're out in the stores, when we're out in the community, not for our sake, but to glorify Him. And so we have an opportunity to verbally share Jesus Christ with them so that they have an opportunity to be saved. Say, boy, I don't know if I can do that, you know. I'd probably be ashamed, or maybe my tongue's going to just freeze up on me where I just can't share it. Listen, God will help you to do that. Paul was a prisoner in a Roman ungodly prison. And he said he did it for us so that we would have the gospel, so that we would get saved. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen? What a Savior. Let's get our eyes on Him so that we don't pay attention to all the ungodliness that it affects us, but that we keep our eyes on the Lord and that we'll follow Him, the light of the world. As long as He was in the world, He was the light. And He said, now that He's gone to heaven, ye are the light of the world. How's our light shining? With heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll have a short invitation, give you an opportunity to respond in a lowly manner, in meekness and humility to the Lord, to worship Him. And I want to just, in prayer, heads bowed, you're praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, maybe you had the idea that the church could save you, or baptism could save you, or your good works could save you, or maybe even a person could save you other than Jesus, and it's just not so. You search the Scriptures, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can personally receive Jesus Christ this morning. We give opportunity when we get into the invitation where the piano begins to play, and you want to come up and talk to me. I'll open the Bible to you, and we'll take 5 minutes maybe and show you the plan of salvation, how you can receive Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and God's convicting you that you're lost and you need to get saved with no one looking but me, would you just lift up your hand to me so I can pray for you, that you would overcome your pride and that you would come to Jesus and be saved today.